Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I want us to read two verses that tell us a lot. They tell us a lot about a man named Paul. Paul exemplifies for us perseverance. Let's read the verse, two verses. Verse 13, chapter 3. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, here's the one thing he does. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The book of Proverbs gives us some interesting data and sobering counsel concerning the future. Most of us have some concern about the future. In Proverbs, we read, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And if we do not know what a day may bring forth, surely we do not know what a year may bring forth. What will happen this year? What turn of events? What joys? What tears will be shed? Birthdays sometimes are reminders that another year has quickly passed by. How quickly the years go. When I was just a teenager, I figured it out that if I lived to be 65, I would see the year 2000. That was 20 years ago. But not only do birthdays and other events remind us of time and the passing of it, New Year's, January 1st, seem to forcefully remind us time waits for no man. Passing of time illustrates for us the reality of the Apostle James' comment upon the brevity of life. Again, James tells us, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Shakespeare had a unique way of stating it, although it sounds very despairing. Shakespeare said, life is but a player that struts and frets his brief seizing up on the stage and then is heard no more. Shakespeare also said, life is full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Well, what are we trying to convey? What are we saying here? We're saying time passes quickly. We do not know the future. We don't know what the afternoon holds for us, much less 2021. The Apostle Paul was a man who thought soberly and apparently made some very serious evaluations, not only about his past, but his present life, as well as his future life. It's all compacted, even in the verses that we read. One of the outstanding characteristics of the Apostle Paul was that he was a man of purpose and great determination, both before and after his conversion. You can usually spot a man of determination. In fact, you can usually pick them out even when they're kids. But particularly when they get to be college age. And in a group, a classroom, if you're familiar with them at all over the passing of a few days and weeks, if you're at all sensitive, you'd be able to put your finger on that person and that person and say, that guy's going places. That guy has determination and purpose. It's evident. It shows. It glows. Jim Elliot was such a man. Read his diary. It oozes with purpose and determination. Before Paul was converted, his purpose and determination was evidenced by his becoming, by his own definition, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. It took some work to do that. It wasn't given to him by his rich uncle. He sweated it out. He was determined. He studied. He put in the time and the effort to achieve that position. A native of Tarsus in his early teens, he made his way somehow to Jerusalem and became a student of the distinguished teacher of the law, Gamaliel. His becoming a zealot in the Jewish religion eventually led him to persecute and prosecute the followers of Christ. But something happened. Something really happened. On his way to persecute Christians, Christ appeared in a bright light and asked him a question. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That was Christ speaking to Paul. Well, he was really Saul at that time. His name was changed later to Paul. He was converted. And within an instant, he now becomes persecuted instead of persecuting. It was a permanent change. And it's evidenced by the words that he penned to the saints at Philippi. Listen to these words. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And he didn't know what lied ahead. The beatings, the sufferings, the shipwreck, the jails, the prisons. That's what lay ahead. He didn't know it at the time. But at that time, he says, I press on. I'm not stopping. I I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Dear ones, that is an emphatic statement of singleness of purpose, and it grew out of a life transforming experience which he encountered on the road to Damascus. This one thing I do. Not these six things I dabble in. One purpose, one thing, one goal. It is right and proper, dear ones, that we set goals, but all of our goals, in order for them to be worthy goals, must be consistent with that one goal which Paul spoke of. What was that goal that Paul had in mind? And I believe that the one goal in the life of Paul was that God's eternal purpose would be accomplished in him. And that was it. It was as if to say, God, whatever it is, whatever your plan and purpose is for me, that's what I want, that's what I'm driving towards, thou press on to that. Do you ever think about that? Does it ever really occur to you that God has a purpose for your life? And is that what you want more than anything else? Regardless of what it is? I'm telling you, folks, that's the only worthy goal. You may have others, but this ought to be the goal as far as you're concerned. Well, how is Paul going to do it? What method, Paul, are you going to use to assure that God's eternal purpose is going to be worked out in your life? What's your method? Well, he tells us. He says, I press on. I press on. Our dear missionary, Andy Hamilton in China. Big, tall guy. He was a professional football player for Louisiana. And he has a hefty handshake. And he'll come up and take your hand and shake it and look you right in the eye and say, press on, brother, press on. There's a couple of words that are interesting. Constant, consistent. Are you known by your constancy? By your consistency, day in and day out, week in and week out, month after month, year after year, consistently pressing on in the area of your Christian life and in your determination to know him and to serve him? How easy we have our little things that we like to do. They're like firecrackers. They fizzle out. And then we take up another one, and it fizzles out. And we take up another one, and it fizzles out. We don't want to fizzle out, dear people. We want to press on in the things of God. Paul is saying, I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived. I haven't achieved really what I want to achieve. But I can tell you this one thing I do, I press on. Pressing on involves two factors. It is one activity of pressing on, but it involves two separate identifiable aspects. According to Paul, it involves forgetting. I don't know about you, but I seem to be pretty good at forgetting some things. Keys, my shopping list. It involves forgetting, and it involves pressing on. Reaching forward. You have the negative there and the positive. Well, I want to talk a little bit this morning about forgetting. It involves forgetting. In other words, if God's eternal purpose is to be accomplished in us, it will be required of us that we forget certain things. Paul did not say that he was leaving certain things behind. He didn't say that. But that he was forgetting them. Some things are best forgotten and not rehashed over again and again in our memories. I don't believe that what Paul is talking about here is failure of memory, but I believe it was a decided and deliberate, willful ceasing to think about certain things. Some things we will never forget. But we don't have to think about them. We don't have to dwell upon them. There were those things that Paul would never blot out of his memory. But I believe that he determined that he would not think about them. That is, he would not allow himself to unduly dwell upon them. Don't let the past mortgage the future. Don't let the past destroy you and get a hold of you so that it paralyzes you in terms of what you ought to be doing in serving the Lord. That means that sin is having dominion over you. And Romans tells us sin shall not have dominion over you. What were the things Paul wanted to forget? Well, he had several. Generally speaking, I believe Paul forgot all those things that would anyway hinder him from achieving his goal. And I believe that most of them could be classified under general categories, such as religion, position, past sins, past achievements. Let us think about them more carefully. I believe Paul forgot several things as it had to do with his race and his religion. In every sense, Paul's ethnic background and his adherence to the Jewish faith and practice were virtually inseparable. There was a time in life when the Apostle Paul felt that his acceptance with God depended upon his ancestry. He said, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, not just any old tribe that was defeated. No. The tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. He boasts of being a true son of Israel. And that takes a lot of hard work. But he got there. You see, he was a man of purpose even before he got saved. Well, Paul at one time placed confidence in his ancestry and in his religious background. But he had to forget all of that. Why? Because it's nothing to trust in. It's empty. It's void. It won't get you to heaven. Another category was his position. As to the law, a Pharisee. You see, in every way, by descent, birth, and achievement, Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, performing with scrupulous exactness every rite of fasting, tithing, sacrifice, so that if salvation was the award to the fervent, Paul had reason to have great peace. Got it made. Got it made. No. You see, something very drastic took place that brought Paul to say, more than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. And when he came to know Christ, and when he was dressed, wonderfully saved, suddenly, all of these other things lost their value. I think he forgot them. Oh, I think he thought about them. Surely he thought about them. But with not any desire to hold on to them for any purpose. They were gone. They were forgotten. What once was considered gain by the apostle is now looked upon as loss, because those things did not commend him to Christ. We are not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We're saved by faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the grace of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And one time Paul boasted in those things. He bragged about them. No more. Paul wrote to the believers at Corinth, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a glorious day that was for Paul. And has it been a glorious day for you? Was there a time when you were depending perhaps upon the religion or the church membership of your family? Or the fact that you were born in America? Have you had a personal encounter with Christ? Big changes take place. One final thing I believe Paul had in mind. When it came to forgetting, it goes right along with what we've been talking about. It was his post-conversion achievements. Did you hear that? Did you understand it? His post-conversion achievements. In other words, here he's converted to the road to Damascus. He's no longer confiding in those things of his own Jewish religion, But now he is accomplishing something. He's planting churches. He's writing books. He's writing letters, rather, to the churches. And on and on and on. But I believe there was a sense in which he forgot those things too. Why do I say that? Because he's not putting confidence in the fact, well, you see, you remember that church over in Thessalonica? Well, I was the one that was there that actually got that started. No. He wasn't trying to achieve salvation. He was in there to serve God as part of his pressing on. To know and do the will of God for his life. Paul had the unique privilege of being an apostle, but that did not keep him from pressing on. This one thing I do. Whether I'm an apostle or not, whether I'm in prison or not, doesn't make any difference. I'm pressing on. Today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The moment I wake up in the morning, the first thing that presses upon my mind is this. I'm pressing on today. Pressing on toward the goal. The goal of knowing that all of God's eternal redemptive purpose would be completed in him. Two things: forgetting and reaching forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead, Paul? I don't know. And perhaps if you'd asked him that question the very next day, it might have been the day when he was run out of town, stoned and left for dead. That was part of it. You see, what does that tell us? For each of us who are truly saved from this very moment, 11:46. From this very moment until the day that we stand in his presence, whether he comes and we are in his presence or whether he takes us to be with him, there'll be a day when we are in his presence. What's going to happen between now and that day? I don't know. And you don't know. Sickness, tragedy, joys, delights. I don't know. But whatever it is, I want to challenge you this morning to be determined. This one thing I do. And by God's grace, nothing will stop me. I'm pressing on. I'm reaching forward to what God has for me. Until you're in his presence. And you know what we want to hear that day? Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we acknowledge our weaknesses, our frailties. There are many. We do not know what this day, let alone tomorrow, or the rest of our life may involve. May we be men women, boys and girls, a purpose, determination, commitment to know and do the will of God every day. Until that day, we will be in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.